All right, good afternoon, everybody. Jewish Home Families and Supporters, we have about, how many on there, Travis?
Short of 100.
Short of 100 folks on the call. So I am the administrator, Michelle Serrano, and I have Dr. Marie Adelot, our medical director, in the room. And just really want to start off to thank everyone for your kind words and prayers over the emails. And I know you've been talking to the social workers and your loved ones, FaceTiming and chatting through the iPads. And I will share all of this with our dedicated staff. And we realize this is a very stressful, scary time for all of you and us, and that we can't see our loved ones definitely makes it even more stressful. We do have to stress again, though, no visitors is really the best way to contain the spread of the virus. So I just want to encourage you that we are limiting, we have no visitors except for staff. And we also are discouraging items brought in from the family members into the cottages, into the tower, just so we can not contaminate or bring the virus into the building or to your loved one. We are working very hard to keep your loved one healthy along with the staff, hand washing, masks, all those things that we have to do and that we're doing is helping contain this virus. So we did receive many good questions, and we believe that we will cover most of them during this call. We put the questions basically in categories or buckets of things like communication, testing, preventing the spread. There are some things that we can't answer due to confidentiality and HIPAA, of course, reasons for specific, you know, patient questions and things like that. But we will do our best to answer all of these questions. So that being said, I'm going to start. So the first topic is around communication, right? Oh, all right. Hang on a second. Sorry about that. Dr. Adelot is going to speak around just overall in general.
Right. I'd like to give just a little intro to some of the things we'll be talking about. This is Marie Adelot. I'm the medical director and the chief medical officer for the Jewish Home. And I expect I know many of you that are on the call because I do take care of 100 long-term care residents here at the Jewish Home. And I oversee our medical staff as well, our doctors, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants. So as everyone knows, we are seeing a community spread in Rochester, an increase in number of cases, and we expect to see more. The main measures that we're taking, just like you're taking at home, are public health measures, and Michelle went over some of those, such as we're really trying to limit people coming onto the campus. We're also putting measures in place here at the Jewish Home that I think many of you are aware of, but we're having a reduced number of new admissions, and we are screening all those new admissions even before they're accepted for their diagnosis and whether they have any symptoms that could possibly be related to COVID infection. Anyone new, any new resident or patient coming into the Jewish Home, they're being confined in their rooms for 7 days with staff wearing protective equipment for their care. So they're getting all their meals, all their therapy and treatments in their rooms. If residents here at the Jewish Home, either on the transitional care unit or in long-term care, get any symptoms, they are being seen very promptly. We're monitoring their temperatures very closely, and we're doing workup immediately. We're doing testing when appropriate. We are here on site 7 days a week. We are monitoring residents with temperatures at least twice a day, if not three times a day, every resident. And of course, we're using personal protective equipment for care, including mask and gloves, and anyone that has tested positive or has a test even pending out at the lab, we're wearing the full protective equipment, including the gown and mask and eye shield, everything. So people have probably heard that we've had one positive case so far on our transitional care unit. This person was admitted from a local hospital and developed the symptoms several days later and is actually doing well. There's been a lot of information about that. I think the reason that we found that case is that we are looking so closely and we are testing whenever appropriate. And many other nursing homes probably never would have even found that case. So that's just a sign that we're at the forefront of testing aggressively. What are we doing for potentially exposed staff? Some people had that question. And we are a little different from the community because we are an essential healthcare provider, and our regulations and our information that we're getting from the Department of Health is that we are continuing to have our staff work, but we're monitoring them very closely with checking their temperatures twice daily, checking them for any respiratory symptoms, and if they're unwell at all, they are to leave and go home to see their own healthcare provider and get assessed for any signs of illness. So obviously we're in very close touch with our local and state health departments, the CDC, medical director groups, hospital groups. We're very tied in to what the best practices are for this illness.
All right, thank you, Marie. All right, so now we're gonna try to address some of the specific areas that the questions, there was, like I said before, buckets or categories. So the first one was around communication. A lot of questions about how are we communicating with residents and families and things like that. So a few bullets about that. There is a dedicated page on our website. We also have the JSL Connect app. If you do not have that, you can email social work for them to sign you up and you can get the app. Your social workers, your rec therapists, you can call them, chat with them. And I know many of you have already done that. And you can continue to email at this email, the COVID questions at Jewish Senior Life. Our social work department will send you emails with updates like they did yesterday about this call and hand deliver information to some of the residents. For obvious reasons, we don't send the same communication to every resident that we send to the families because it would scare some of them. They may not understand it. They may not comprehend it. So we let the families do some of that, or if the social worker has a handful of residents, they will talk to the residents one-on-one about what's going on. You know, we really are trying to keep the TVs off, not having them run CNN all day, all night long. So we're trying to provide other entertainment for the residents and with other things that the social workers and rec therapists are doing. So we also, this phone conference, like the one we are having today, we communicate with families. Hopefully you'll find this helpful. We will follow our standards procedures as we always have of notifying loved ones of any change in status, because that was a question that came through a couple times. Would we notify family members if their loved one developed symptoms? Of course we would. We would do that if anything changed with their health status. So that's around communication with residents and families. Another question was, how can I stay in touch with my loved ones, okay? And also about bringing in things, dropping things off. We are really, really discouraging outside items. However, if you have to, if there's something that you have to drop off that's absolutely necessary, you could do that at the front desk or in the vestibule of the cottages. Just call the staff ahead of time and let them know. But again, less people, less items that we have from the community will help the folks that live here and work here. Let's see, we have been actively reaching out to families to schedule the video chats with their loved ones, so please continue that. Contact your social worker. I've been upstairs and I've seen the residents really, really appreciate it, and they love to see their family. So that's around communication and staying in touch. And I'm going to let Marie talk about testing, which was another, many questions came in about testing for the virus.
Okay, so testing, a lot in the media about this, and this is changing as time goes along. but we are following the Department of Health and CDC guidelines for testing. And currently, we are testing residents, have tested negative for other respiratory illnesses. There's still flu in the community, so if someone has the respiratory symptoms and fever, we will usually, virtually always, test for flu first, and then we will automatically test for the COVID-19. So our medical staff is very familiar with the criteria for testing that person. We don't test people that don't have symptoms, that don't have fever. Why? Well, there really are not enough tests. I think everyone has seen this from the media, but the test kits, there's a limited number of those in the community. We have plenty at the Jewish home for our purposes, but even if those tests were done, the laboratories can only run at a certain speed. We are fortunate that we're in close touch with the lab at Strong, and our tests, when we send them over, are being done promptly. So we're not having a delay, and that is, it's very different from how things were even a few weeks ago. So the bottom line is that we're testing all residents who meet the criteria for testing, and we're testing aggressively. We have adequate supplies of the test kits. Strong is the place where we run our tests, and they are running them in good time, usually within 1 to 2 days. People also had some question about testing staff, and the way we are working with staff is that they have their primary care physicians. So if they are ill, they are sent home immediately and referred to their primary physician. Because they are medical caregivers, they are in a high priority group for the COVID testing. So we are not finding any trouble with getting our staff tested in a timely fashion.
Okay. Another category was that questions came through were specific to the rehab patient that had the infection. So Anne-Marie did talk about this in the beginning. We are only really able to share limited information regarding this. There is a short-term rehab patient who had tested positive, and we believe this case was hospital or community acquired prior to his admission. And just to add again, he is doing well, as Marie said. So that's pretty much all I could say about that for confidentiality and HIPAA reasons. The last category had a lot of questions about preventing the spread of the virus. I apologize if I'm repeating what Marie said, but I think it's really important for you to hear again and what we are doing in order to prevent that. So we have adequate personal protective equipment, and we are conserving where possible. If we are still getting shipments, though, we have our supplies are locked downstairs in the classroom, and we make sure that all the clinical staff have what they need to provide care. We are doing increased environmental cleaning, and that's in all the common areas and all the residents' rooms, cleaning the surfaces several times a day over the three shifts. Our housekeeping staff are absolutely wonderful, and also our nursing staff. Our nursing staff and our CNAs are still cleaning behind themselves too. So it's a big team effort, and it really helps. The more you can clean, the better. We have adequate cleaning supplies. We have no problems with shipments or deliveries with any cleaning supplies, medical supplies, food. Everything's coming on time when they say it's coming. All our clinical staff are wearing masks and are frequently washing their hands and changing their gloves constantly. And that's like I said, that is critical and the most important three things that you could do. Any COVID positive or suspected positive patient or resident is being isolated, and staff are using the full PPE when interacting with the patient, if it's feeding, if it's providing care, therapy, anything like that. There are no group gatherings. That's residents, staff. We have meetings that are WebEx, or we talk from our offices, but we avoid groups, like I said, just with residents and staff. Residents are dining in their rooms. Folks, that it's safe and possible. There are residents who need assistance. It may not be safe for them to eat alone, so we do have them in the common area, but they're spaced out. And the folks that are able to eat in their room are eating in their room, and that is in the tower. and as well as the cottages. We are broadcasting custom entertainment and activity program on all the Jewish Home TVs, and therapeutic rec staff are, they are very, very involved. They're still, they're making one-on-one visits. They're doing the chats with the families and the residents, along with social work. Our first, we actually have a performer performing from their home tomorrow at 2 o'clock. It's a community performance that we're going to broadcast tomorrow at 2. We are also, we're working hard to provide, this is another big issue for people about staffing. We are working very, very hard to provide adequate staffing that is very consistent as possible. So, and we've always done this at the Jewish Home because we, as you guys know, consistency is critical to the residents to know their plan of care and just for their engagement and their relationships. You know, they love the staff. They're like their families. So we are trying to keep them as consistent as possible. All right. So in closing, I just want to say that please continue to check for updates on our website with your social worker. Continue to your video chats with your loved ones. And again, we are taking every step to keep our residents and staff as healthy as possible. And continue, you know, if you guys have thoughts or you want to send messages, even to the staff, you can also use this website that we could share with everybody, that just to, we know that you're thinking of us and you're praying for us, but if you want to send those, and the staff would really appreciate hearing from you. So we had a total of, I'll just say lastly, we total had 156 on the call. I really, really appreciate you guys or listening to us. And let us know if it was helpful, and if you'd like us to do this again, we could do maybe in a couple of weeks, or you know, we could talk about that after. So, all right, thank you, everybody.
I just want to say thank you to everyone also, and we're doing everything we can do to keep your loved ones safe.